Tifty, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Brett Johnson and Hunter Haas filling in during the 4 o'clock hour, not just today, but the entire month of October, and even part of November as well. Doug Padgett is out on the road doing his Vote Common Good tour. I believe they're starting off in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Seen some pictures on his Facebook page as he's trying to get people to vote for the common good, which we certainly need to do. But anyways, if you love Doug and you're not big fans of Hunter and I, well, I got bad news for you. You're stuck with us for about a month and a half. How do you like that?
Stuck with us.
Stuck with us indeed. Pretty much it'll be me on, I'm planning on probably Mondays. Might run into me on Wednesdays and Fridays. Hunter, I think you're doing Tuesdays, Thursdays. We might have some Wednesday surprises for you every once in a while, but kind of the tentative plan until Doug is back in Minnesota. So I know you got some good shows planned this week. I hopefully have a good show planned today. Lots in the news, like the way I sold myself right there. Hopefully a good show. Not guaranteeing anything.
Self-deprecating.
Self-deprecating indeed.
But there's plenty of fuel to talk about with this.
Oh, indeed. You, of course, had a big show on Thursday with lots of great guests. And by the way, you can check out our shows on the podcasts page. And make sure you give us a review on iTunes. Give us a 5-star review, not just our show, but also the Matt McNeil show and our great weekend shows. It's a great way to build up that audience for all of our podcasts. The more 5-star reviews we get, the more they show up in those search results. So enough housekeeping. We got some big news that just broke during the 3 o'clock hour, and that is that the DFL's investigation into Keith Ellison has basically said that they were not able to substantiate the claims of physical abuse made by Karen Monahan against Keith Ellison. So they didn't say necessarily that he was guilty or innocent. They just weren't able to substantiate any of her claims. But I think what was important with this is that they still want to pass along the results of that investigation to law enforcement agencies to make sure they can further that investigation if those law enforcement agencies deem it necessary. So overall, that's the approach that the DFL took to this with hiring their attorney to investigate. And I know, of course, Republicans are going to say, foul play. It was stacked from the beginning. It's a fake investigation. But you know what? They're passing it along to law enforcement. And I don't know if there's really a whole lot they could do when Karen Monahan is not releasing this video if it exists. And I totally get what she's saying about how she doesn't want this very embarrassing video being seen by the public, but there are some other avenues I think you could take if that video does exist, whether it's showing it to a law enforcement agency or if you want to go to the media with it, you could probably just show it to maybe one journalist at a certain company. I can certainly think of some in town without actually having to put it out in the public, because then either law enforcement or a journalist can say, hey, I saw that video. It's definitely true. And it doesn't look good for Keith Ellison. But
and in this report, the attorney tried on Friday, September 26, one last time to set a viewing where just the attorney would see it privately, and she wouldn't allow that to happen.
Oh, so they actually did go down that route already of just trying to say, hey,
yep,
I'm the attorney. We're not going to release this to the public.
She tried to schedule it private viewing, but they wouldn't allow
that. I don't
know.
Just something just seems off with that when they say that her reason for why she doesn't have the video keeps kind of shifting. So we'll have to see where that goes. Again, so far with the internal DFL investigation, they were not able to substantiate the claims of Karen Monahan. And I heard Matt talking about this the last hour. You certainly hope they don't do some kind of dump 2 or 3 days before the election, throwing that video down, because, well, that pretty much would probably guarantee the election for Doug Wardlow. Because if it were a few weeks ahead of time and Keith Ellison had that video released, the DFL could maybe launch a write-in campaign for, I don't know, let's say Lori Swanson, someone that is well-known in the state. They might be able to pull that off. But if it is released like 2 or 3 days before the election, it'd be tough to recover from. And we certainly do not want Doug Wardlow as the Attorney General of Minnesota, a far-right conservative, certainly in the vein of Michelle Bachmann, far, far right. We, of course, have gone through his background, writing for the working for the Alliance for Defending Freedom, basically just antagonizing transgender and other members of the LGBTQ community. So certainly not a guy we want to have in the Attorney General's office. And also, speaking of Doug Wardlow, I got this a few days ago, saw it on social media. Someone actually took a picture of a mailer from the Doug Wardlow campaign, and it's basically just a quick checklist of what exactly is Doug Wardlow going to be doing if he is the Attorney General. Keep in mind, this mailer was put out by the Wardlow campaign itself. What do you want? Who do you want defending you as the Attorney General is the heading of this mailer. And it says, rank the following duties of the AG's office in order of importance, since this is all what Doug Wardlow says he will be doing. So, again, this is from the Wardlow campaign himself. This isn't the Keith Ellison's campaign or some PAC putting this out. This is what the Wardlow campaign has in their own mailer, and they promise he is going to be doing all of these following things. The first one, ensure criminals are prosecuted. Well, that's actually okay to me, but I'm sure there's probably something more nuanced to that, but that one actually okay to me. The next one, and here's where we kind of go down those rabbit holes. Number two, investigate and prosecute illegal voting. Oh, who's surprised by that? I mean, we still have to find those trunk full of votes from the Al Franken Norm Coleman race. Have you found those yet, by the way, Hunter?
Nope,
still haven't found those. But
still searching.
But apparently we're still going to be investigating all those illegal votes, since I think we've had, what, like in the last 10 years, maybe 12 illegal voters? It was something super low like that, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But they'll have you believe otherwise.
Yeah. And I think the cases were, most of these were felons who ended up voting because they thought they were eligible, and it turns out they weren't. So it wasn't like they were necessarily doing anything malicious. And also, going off on a tangent on that, if that was the case, voter ID wouldn't stop that at all. Voter ID only stops voter impersonation, not voter fraud. But that's a story for perhaps another day. Some of the other things that Doug Wardlow wants to do if he is in the AG's office: defend laws passed by the state legislator in court. Now, that one's interesting, because if it's a GOP legislator, he'll probably gladly do that. But if it's a DFL legislator, I'm kind of with Matt McNeil, where he's probably going to be going, sue, 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 and try to raise his profile both in Minnesota and nationally on a statewide level. Also, he wants, and this one, I can't believe he even said this one, since this has been proven false so many times, prosecute illegal trafficking of fetal body parts. You know what that's from, right? That's from those old James O'Keefe videos where he supposedly went into Planned Parenthood clinics and said they were trafficking body parts, even though those videos were taken completely out of context and they were proven to be 100% true. But this is what he says he is going to do according to his own mailer as the Attorney General: prosecute illegal trafficking of fetal body parts. Are you kidding me? He's actually going to be doing that, or saying he's going to be doing that? Then my favorite, defend President Trump's agenda in court. This is a guy who, in the Star Tribune the other day, said he's going to be completely nonpartisan as the Attorney General if he's elected. He'll take politics out of it completely. But not according to a mailer he sent out to supporters. He says he will defend President Trump's agenda in court. So much for being nonpartisan. And then this buzzword is back. I forgot about this one. I thought this kind of went away during the Obama administration, but he says he will fight against burdensome regulations. So there you have it. That is what Doug Wardlow says he will do as the Attorney General of Minnesota. Again, a guy who said he would be nonpartisan if elected. Certainly not the case, being that he admitted in his own mailer he will defend President Trump's agenda and also prosecute illegal trafficking of fetal body parts. Can this guy get any more far right? How is he any different than Michelle Bachmann? It's unbelievable. Jim is in St. Paul. He has some thoughts about that Keith Ellison, Doug Wardlow race. Jim, what's on your mind?
Well, I tell you, I think that, first of all, I want to say you're going to have one listener at least. I like listening to you guys. I listen all the time. I just don't call in much anymore.
But, yeah, we haven't heard from you for a while, Jim. Good to hear from you, though.
But I got to say that Keith Ellison is so far above Wardlow in any explanation. I don't know what happened in his personal life. I really don't. But you look back on Keith Ellison's public life and his office holding. That man is smart. He's dedicated. He's on the right side. And I guarantee you that this Wardlow guy, even the Republicans don't like him. He is a real right-wing nut job. And I just can't say it enough. I mean, we're looking at just draconian measures that the Republicans, or I don't know if I'd call them Republicans. I don't know what to call them. These Trump people are totally crazy, 100%. Their whole platform is based on lie after lie after lie. And what do you do when you get caught? You lie some more.
That's pretty much it. And just going to your point about how even Republicans don't necessarily like Doug Wardlow himself, I would venture to guess if they had known allegations against Keith Ellison were coming out ahead of time, or even taking the allegations out of it completely, if they knew Keith Ellison would be the nominee for Attorney General, I think they would have nominated someone a lot more high profile for that position.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's a good point, because this whole race got mixed up at the conventions when Lori Swanson backed out to run for governor. So no one was expecting this to be a Keith Ellison race, and the Republicans had already kind of gave up on this seat. And that is why Doug Wardlow, he's a very low-profile guy, not much experience, and he has a very unpopular background for Minnesotans with it. I mean, his bread and butter is the Alliance Defending Freedom, which is recognized as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. So I think you're totally right with that take.
Yeah, absolutely. And you brought up, of course, how things really got thrown out of flux with the DFL state convention. And you wonder who the GOP would have nominated otherwise, if not Doug Wardlow, because this brings me to my next point about him, is that the Republican Party in Minnesota really lacks a lot of credible statewide candidates. I mean, even if they had gone with someone else, they probably would have had to pull out someone like Jason Lewis or Eric Paulson out of their congressional races to run for a statewide office, because the bench really isn't there on the side of the Minnesota GOP. And that's what concerns me about Doug Wardlow if he were to win. He would probably be battling a DFL governor, well, at least hopefully, and a DFL legislator. And if he just goes and sues and sues and sues them to try to build his profile, that kind of makes him into a folk hero of the Republican Party and really would raise his profile statewide for perhaps, who knows, maybe a governor's race in a future year or a Senate race. He could be a guy that could really replenish the Republican bench in Minnesota, and that's something that really scares me, because I like the fact right now is that the GOP really has no bench for statewide candidates. I mean, Jeff Johnson, come on. The guy's lost twice already statewide, and he's the best they got. And Karen Housley, with her basically just using her husband's last name, they have no one on their bench right now. And if Wardlow gets in that AG's office, that suddenly raises his profile and perhaps even puts him into a higher office in a future year.
That's the strategy a lot of these Republicans take, is that they run races that they don't plan on winning just to increase that profile to maybe one day be in position to run for a winnable race.
Yeah, kind of just try to get lightning in a bottle. Exactly what Mike Pence did when he was selected as the VP for Donald Trump when no one wanted that job, and all of a sudden, hey, it paid off for him. So be very nervous about Doug Wardlow. And another prediction I made a few months ago, I like to toot my own horn here. I was saying about this time of year, late September, early October, we were going to see Republican funds in other campaigns start to dry up and then trickle into probably the Doug Wardlow campaign. And in fact, that process, as I predicted, has already started. So get this, the Republican Governors Association has now zeroed out its reservations for ad space in the Minnesota governor's race. Through October 23rd, and even beyond then and up to the election day, they're still not promising spending any money on behalf of Jeff Johnson. So this is the National Organization for Republican Governors basically saying, we're not going to spend any more money on the Jeff Johnson campaign. Of course, we will see Jeff Johnson himself still running TV ads, so it's not like we're going to see Jeff Johnson off the airwaves completely, which would certainly be nice. I was watching something on Hulu the other day. I just saw a ton of anti-Tim Walz ads put on by Jeff Johnson, by the way.
Yeah, and
I didn't
YouTube,
know those were even, I didn't even know those were even going through to like Amazon Prime and Hulu. But Anyways, that's besides the point, though. So Republican Governors Association, they're zeroing out their money for Jeff Johnson, and you wonder if that GOP money is going to start to flow in to the campaign for Doug Wardlow. Another example, the Congressional Leadership Fund. This is a super PAC aligned with the House GOP leadership. Now, they're cutting off support for several Republican incumbents around the country, including Michigan Representative Mike Bishop and Colorado Representative Mike Kaufman. But the important part about that release was that they're increasingly growing pessimistic about the chances of Eric Paulson and Jason Lewis. And the report this was put out on is actually speculating that they could also see their national money start to dry up. So certainly something to watch. Stay engaged in that Keith Ellison, Doug Wardlow race, because I think the money is really going to start to flow into that race as we head into the coming months, or coming weeks, I should say. Wow, that election's coming up quickly. I can't even say coming months anymore. Yeah. I think we're going to see a lot more money flow into this race as the Republicans start to take money out of other races around the state and put it into that AG race. So definitely stay up to date on that one. And even if Keith Ellison isn't your first choice, even if you're nervous about those allegations, do keep in mind it's very different than Brett Kavanaugh. He would only be elected for one term. So in theory, you know, let's say things don't go well for him, he could be out of office in 2022, or he could even resign if things got super terrible, unlike on the Supreme Court, where you very rarely have any justices resign when you're looking at the analogy between Keith Ellison and Brett Kavanaugh. So even if you're not necessarily thrilled by Keith Ellison, would you rather vote for Michelle Bachmann? Because that's essentially who you would be putting in the AG's office if Doug Wardlow were to win. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. If you have any thoughts on the AG's race or any other political news, if you want to talk about the Brett Kavanaugh investigation or any other topic, give us a call, 952-946-6205, AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Fall St. Paul Art Crawl, presented by the St. Paul Art Collective, will be running October 12th, 13th, and 14th. This is a must-do experience that you will love. Over the weekend, you'll have a chance to explore a wide variety of art while touring through local artist studios, lofts, and galleries. Hosting over 300 artists, up for purchase will be paintings, photography, pottery, sculpture, fiber arts, and more. The Art Crawl sprawls over 30 locations. Join the Art Crawl and discover outstanding art for you to own. And when you buy local art, you're providing to artists so that they may continue to create the art we love. The Metro Transit is supporting the local art community with a free transit pass. Download your pass to ride buses and light rail for free during the Art Crawl. Be sure to get details at the stpaulartcrawl.org. That's the stpaulartcrawl.org.
Enjoy a delicious home-cooked breakfast or lunch away from the kitchen at Milda's Cafe, now open 7 days a week. Milda's Cafe has been cooking up family favorites since 1964. Grab a coffee and sit down for a delicious Philly scramble, house-made rolls, or Denver omelet. Stop in for lunch where you'll find authentic Finnish pasties every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Open weekdays 6 to 3, weekends 8 to 2. Milda's Cafe on Glenwood Avenue, 4 blocks east of Penn.
I'm John Peterson, and at Ferndale Market, we are proud to provide our free-range turkey to local restaurants and natural food stores. One of our partners since the beginning has been Birchwood Cafe, and we're excited to announce a new partnership product, the Birchwood Turkey Burger Patty. Made from their popular turkey burger recipe, using our antibiotic-free turkey and Birchwood's local and organic ingredients. Put an end to bland turkey burgers. Find this and all our Ferndale turkey products at your local co-op or natural food store. Visit ferndalemarket.com.
Atheists Talk is the radio show for free-thinking Minnesotans. Listen on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Every Sunday, we bring you science, philosophy, politics, and plain old fun from an atheist's point of view. Visit our website at minnesotaatheists.org for more details. Tune in to Atheists Talk Radio Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock on KTNF AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It's good radio without the good book.
Hello, humans. It's Ellie Krug with Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many know that I have a diversity and inclusion company, Human Inspiration Works, LLC. I want to share about a speaking event I'll be hosting on Monday, November 5th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Loft Literary Center in Minneapolis. I'll be giving my gray area thinking talk on how to be welcoming to others. I'd love for you to join me. Go to elliekrug.com and look at the Human is Human public events page for more. Please come and please tell others. See you then.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Brett and Hunter filling in on your Monday afternoon. Get used to us. You're stuck with us for the next 6 weeks or so, all the way up until election night, which, by the way, we'll, of course, be covering here on AM 950, still finalizing some plans, but I at least plan to be here late into that evening. I'm sure you are as well, hoping for that blue wave, hoping to see a Democratic House, hoping to see maybe Ted Cruz lose in Texas.
Exactly what
stuff.
I was thinking. Yeah, I can't wait to see some of these results across the country. I mean, because we talk so much about Minnesota here, but election night, it'll be interesting to see how some of those races shape up. And Ted Cruz is definitely on risk of losing his seat.
Oh, that's the one I would love to see go down. If Ted Cruz loses, the ultimate Republican hero goes down to a really strong candidate in Beto O'Rourke. Man, there's going to be a lot of races to watch on that Tuesday night. A lot of stuff. And we'll, of course, cover it here on AM 950. So make sure you stay tuned for that. But again, like we said, Hunter and I hosting for the next 6 weeks or so. Doug out on the road with his Vote Common Good campaign. He will call into the show occasionally and update us on what's going on until he returns sometime in the middle of November. You a baseball fan at all, Hunter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty been crazy. Rough in Minnesota.
Yeah, rough in Minnesota, unfortunately. Joe Mauer, of course, probably retiring, had his ceremony that took place yesterday. Very cool to see him catch for one pitch. But I don't know. I'll admit this. I've kind of been sneaking a peek at some of the games taking place today. We have two tiebreaker games taking place. Brewers beat the Cubs to win the NL Central. Now we got the Rockies and the Dodgers going at it. I believe they're scoreless in the fourth inning. And that's all the more sports I'll talk about. But just thought I'd share that since it's an unusual thing to see two tiebreaker games in baseball. Yeah. I believe that's the first time that that has ever happened. Getting back into politics, though, I want to talk about something different for the next few minutes here, and that is conspiracy theories. Because in our inbox, we got a couple of emails about this over the weekend. This is a new right-wing talking point and conspiracy theory that they've been pushing for the past few days, and that is, this one is almost as wild as the QAnon, or how do you say it?
QAnon.
QAnon. Either way, that thing's just totally crazy. But this is their latest conspiracy that's been pushed. And that is apparently that Dr. Christine Blasey Ford is apparently an agent of the CIA. Where do you get this stuff from? Here is what I got, and there's a reason why I'm addressing this and even bringing this up on air, which we'll get to in just a second. According to this message, which was actually started on the Michael Savage Show, who's a conservative talk radio host, it says that her grandfather, Nicholas Deke, was a well-known CIA agent for decades. Her father, Ralph Beasley II, ran three CIA front companies, Redcoats, Dead Watch, and Admiral Systems. And her brother, Ralph Blasey II, once worked for the law firm Baker Hostetler, which was behind the creation of Fusion GPS, and subsequently the dossier used to start the Russian collusion investigation. So now they're also trying to tie the testimony of Christine Blasey Ford into somehow the Steele dossier and the Russia investigation. I'm just kind of speechless with this on why conservatives buy into so many conspiracy theories. It's just unreal to believe that Christine Blasey Ford is somehow an agent of the CIA. How is that even possible when she's worked in academia her entire life? I mean, you would literally have to find a super talented actress that's been in academia for her whole life and would suddenly want to interrupt that calm life and stable life just so she can testify against Brett Kavanaugh. And then, of course, you would need someone who also would know how to pass a polygraph test, professionally trained in that aspect. And you would also need someone who, again, is a very talented actress who also lied and anticipated that Brett Kavanaugh would be a Supreme Court nominee way back in 2012 when she made her notes to her therapist. I just don't get how they can fall for so many conspiracy theories.
I think it stems from a distrust of the government in general, mm-hmm. and the Republicans go after that with the kind of their anti-government rhetoric, even though that they have been in charge of most of the state and federal government for decades now. And the other part is that a lot of right-wing talking heads are willing to just out-and-out lie and just double down on that. And the truth isn't as important. I'm always amazed at how they're willing to go out on a limb that's clearly a lie and just continue to go with it and have no care of how that reflects on themselves.
Yeah, exactly. And even if you think, well, maybe Christine Blasey Ford is lying, just take it into context into all of the other right-wing investigations and conspiracy theories we've had over the past 10 years. We, of course, had our infamous Benghazi hearings. We also had, I even just made a list of these, and it's not even scratching the surface on the number of conspiracy theories we've had over the past 8 to 10 years, pretty much since Obama took office back in 2009. We, of course, had Donald Trump starting the birther movement, which apparently is still a thing among some people. We also have the fact that Ted Cruz's father actually killed JFK. That one's my favorite. Republicans turning on Republicans. We also have the fact that they think Antonin Scalia was murdered, because Donald Trump said it was very suspicious that he found a pillow on his face when he was found dead back in 2016. We, of course, have the Vince Foster conspiracy theory. We have cameras, hidden cameras in Trump Tower since he was being spied on by the deep state. We had, I remember this one, Agenda 21, which was a gigantic United Nations conspiracy to control the United States and to force us to basically be nicer to the environment. That was somehow an evil conspiracy. And we had the no-go zones that were, of course, all over cities across the country because they were controlled by Muslims. Just think of how ridiculous all of those conspiracy theories sound. And then you're adding in the fact that you think Dr. Ford is making up her allegations. So just a point of thought I made that I just don't get how so many Republicans and conservatives in general love their conspiracy theories and are so quick to point to these whenever they see something that's going against them. Of course, there are liberal conspiracy theories, but these don't really get play on mainstream media. I mean, you'll see some people out there saying, you know, well, I won't even name any of the liberal conspiracy theories. I'm sure a lot of our right-wing callers know whichever ones I'm talking about, but they generally don't get play in mainstream press, where if you look at some of the other ones I named, I mean, these were pushed by Michael Savage, Sean Hannity, and even elected officials ourselves, including our current president of the United States. So thought I'd bring that up because I'm kind of thinking this is my prediction when that FBI investigation is finalized, that I'm thinking a lot of Republicans are going to say it was biased because the FBI has it in for Trump, and this is their way to get revenge against him. That's at least my prediction coming up this week. So we'll have to see what happens. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Love to give your thoughts if you'd like to chime in about why Republicans love conspiracy theories, or if you'd like to chime in about the Keith Ellison-Doug Wardlow race and that Keith Ellison investigation, which was just released by the DFL. And we have some other topics we'll get to as well on the other side of the break. You're listening to Brett and Hunter filling in on AM 950 Radio.
No flowers, no flashbulbs, no wine. Guess who called me the other day? You did. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld of Computer Revolution in Roseville. I want to thank AM 950 listeners who called to thank us for supporting the station. So here's an offer exclusive to 950 listeners. Bring your broken computer or cell phone to our Roseville store, say I'm an AM 950 listener, and you'll receive $20 off any repair. Computer Revolution with cell phone repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. And thanks.
As you know, I'm an animal lover, and you'd be surprised the mess just a tiny little chihuahua and guinea pig can manage to create. Thankfully, I call Zero Res to clean up the spots my critters leave on the carpeting. Their patented power water will clean the toughest messes and won't leave behind any of those smelly stains. Just call 952-ZERO-RES and tell them you're an AM950 listener. And if you're looking for a new gig, they are now hiring. Go to the careers page on ZeroResMN.com for info. Zero Res. Spell it backward or forwards. It spells the same.
Hi, Hi, this is Laura Hedlund with Food Freedom Radio. We want a regenerative revolution. What's that? It's a food system that works for water, soil, pollinators, and people. How do we get it? Maybe by being a little more lazy. So this summer, we're looking for lazy good food recipes. We're talking about how do we create a sane, kind food system. Food Freedom Radio, Saturdays at 8 a.m. or anytime on podcast. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-647-1579. 1-800-647-1579. That's 1-800-647-1579.
Let's think about customization presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Liberty Mutual customizes your auto insurance so you only pay for what you need. So why aren't more things in life customizable? Why isn't a burger cheaper when you ask for no onions? I don't want them. So shouldn't you deduct the price of the onions? Right? Otherwise, I'm paying for the onions, but I'm not receiving any onions.
Go to libertymutual.com for a customized quote and you could save.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Equal housing insurer.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Haas. Tonight, cloudy with a low around 47. Tuesday, mostly cloudy with a high near 60. And Wednesday, chance of showers, high near 79. This week's EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week is Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club. Situated by Moore Lake on Highway 65, Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club is one of the most beautiful destination fine dining restaurants in the Twin Cities. Located at 6161 Highway 65 Northeast in Minneapolis, Minnesota, find out more at EatLocalMinnesota.com.
Hey, I'm 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota on a cool October day. Had some rain earlier. It was really coming down for a while. Was it raining when you got in here this morning?
Yeah, it was raining just this morning and afternoon, gray.
I'm glad I didn't bike in. I was kind of tempted to when I saw in the forecast like 40% chance of rain between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. I'm like, do I risk that? In the end, decided no. Sometimes it just gets too cold to be out there. I don't know. I just don't like when it's like 49 degrees and there's wind and rain.
Yeah,
it
I know.
Makes it too cold for me. You going to pull out the bike anymore this year to bike here?
Yeah, I've been looking at this week. I have to just decide which days are nice enough.
Wednesday might be the day. Heard we're supposed to get up to 80 degrees or right around there.
Wow,
you just
nice.
Read your forecast, and I completely forgot what you said Wednesday was supposed to be.
I wasn't paying attention.
It's funny how we do that. We read all these weather forecasts, and we completely forget what we read. Yeah, that is kind of funny how that works out. By the way, we don't actually read those forecasts live, which you probably picked up. It's funny when we've had in-studio guests, they kind of look at us like, oh, are you guys reading that right now? No, we're not. It's all pre-recorded. We do it at some points during the day. So it is pre-recorded, and we completely forgot what the forecast was already, but I do know Wednesday's shaping up to be a nice day. Hey, going back to conspiracy theories and talking about the Keith Ellison, Doug Wardlow thing, just want to finalize one point on that. And I don't know if you know this name, Hunter, Laura Loomer. Are you familiar with her at all?
Refresh my memory.
So she's a conspiracy theorist who worked for InfoWars and Alex Jones, if that says enough already.
Yep.
Unfortunately, she's been hanging around Minnesota for the past 2 months, following around Keith Ellison. She's kind of made this her major issue of the fall to try to make sure that he's not elected, because apparently he's a scary Muslim, and that's pretty much her only reason. She's been around Minnesota following him around, so if you see her name pop up in the news, please don't take it seriously. She's promoted a number of conspiracy theories, mostly related to mass shootings, falsely insinuating that school shootings in Santa Fe, Texas, and Parkland were staged. and that the 2017 Las Vegas mass shooter was affiliated with ISIS. Only bring that up because I've seen her name pop up a lot online when people try to discredit whatever Keith Ellison is doing, saying, well, this is what Laura Loomer, who's an independent journalist, has been investigating about Ellison. This is what she's saying. Well, keep in mind, she's a total crazy person working for Alex Jones in InfoWars, so just watch out for that if you see her name pop up in the news over the next few months. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Also comment on our Facebook feed if you'd like to chime in on any of the topics that we're talking about today. So switching gears near, I want to talk a little bit about healthcare because MinnPost put out an interesting piece today saying that, no surprise here, it is going to be a huge campaign issue coming up during the fall months. In fact, according to a recent CBS News poll, it found that 70% of Americans think healthcare is a very important issue, a larger share than any other top issue. And I think that's certainly a good thing that 70% of people think it's their top issue. I'd certainly put it on my top issue as well when every year I see my health insurance premiums skyrocket. Sure, you're kind of in the same boat there, Hunter, and that's got to be a top issue for you as well.
Oh, yeah. No, it's hard enough making ends meet. And
Yeah. Oh, no kidding. And what I found interesting, too, is that even though immigration is something that Republicans try to bring up as a huge issue for them coming up this fall, it's actually fallen well down. I think it was only 7% of people listed that as their overall top issue. But here in Minnesota, lots of candidates emphasizing their stances on health care. Of course, on Democrat of the Day, which you can hear during the 3 p.m. hour every day. Whenever Matt asks those candidates, what's your top issue when you talk to constituents, it's always health care that pops up. And polling data is not very good for Republicans in that area. This is according to Robert Blendon, who's a professor of public health and politics at Harvard. And he says, healthcare this year is an overwhelming Democratic issue. He says, when you ask registered voters which party is better on healthcare, it's overwhelmingly good for Democrats. And he says it switched from this very strong, significant anti-ACA feeling, which was very different than back in 2010 when it was actually Republicans who were thought to be the stronger party on healthcare. But it's really bad news for Republicans in this area, as a CBS News poll from September found, for example, that just 12% of voters surveyed believe they were helped by the Republicans' actions on healthcare. That is a brutal number right there. Just 12% of respondents to a survey thought they were helped by the Republican healthcare proposal. That is bad, bad news for them. Also had a public policy polling survey about voter attitudes about healthcare in the 2nd and 3rd congressional districts in Minnesota. In CD2, 48% of voters trusted Democrats to handle the issue compared to just 45% for Republicans. But CD2 is where the margin really expands. That's where they find that it's 56% trust Democrats to 38% for Republicans in CD2. So this issue is really hurting Republicans in the suburbs, especially in CD2 and CD3. So what I find interesting about this, though, going back to the quote from this guy Blendon, who's a professor at Harvard, is that attitudes have changed so much since 2010, when Republicans were perceived as being the stronger party on healthcare. And I just look throughout history, and I kind of wonder if every time a party that's in power decides to change or at least propose changing the healthcare system, they ultimately get hurt in the electoral process. We saw in 1994 when Democrats tried to do healthcare. We, of course, had what was infamously called Hillary Care. It failed. It never got through Congress, but of course devastated Republican or Democrats, I should say, in the midterm elections as they lost, what was it, like over 50 or 60 seats? I think it was called that Republican Revolution of 1994, where they won control of both the House and the Senate. Then, of course, we had, what else am I thinking here? 2010, Democrats hurt by the issue again when we passed the ACA, even though I thought it was a decent bill, kind of a Band-Aid on a bigger problem. Democrats still lost a ton of seats during that election cycle. Now, here we are again in 2018, after Republicans decided to try to mess with the healthcare system, they're the ones all of a sudden getting hurt. So, I don't know, Hunter, if you have any thoughts on this, on why every time a party, whether it's Republican or Democrat, tries to change the healthcare system, they ultimately get really hurt at the polls. Is it just people are scared of change or something along those lines?
It's easier to be a critic than to be a creator. So creating the solution to a complicated problem is hard. And I feel like with the approach to single-payer healthcare as an idea that that can finally be a solution to this rather than Band-Aids, as you said. And, I mean, those programs are unpopular because they're confusing and they don't help everyone, where an idea like single-payer is easy to comprehend, and as soon as it's enacted, everyone will see the benefits in their own life, and it will be something like Social Security where you couldn't imagine taking it away because it's such a great thing for everyone.
That's a historical reference I actually like to do some research on. Is I'm trying to think what year Social Security was passed, but it would be interesting to see how Democrats did in the following election after Social Security was passed to see if they won or lost seats. If that was back in the 30s, I have to think they probably actually won seats. So you might be onto something there where it really depends more on the policy that you're proposing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, as you said, Democrats right now are proposing single-payer health care. And let's say we end up winning Congress in 2018 and winning the presidency in 2020. Would that mean we would be doomed in 2022 if we try to propose single-payer health care? It's an interesting question because if it is something that actually does help everybody and is easier to understand, maybe it is something that could become more popular and not hurt Democrats at the polls, because we've seen the last two times the Dems have tried to change the healthcare system in 94 and 2010. We lost over 50 seats in the House and we lost a ton of Senate seats. Now, of course, when Republicans tried to change the healthcare system in 2017, we're coming up on 2018, they're also likely to lose a ton of seats in Congress. So maybe that is the question. Maybe it depends on what kind of proposal you have put forth to try to change the healthcare system. So I just don't know. I mean, maybe single-payer would be more popular with voters, but I think you also see those Republican talking points saying, well, how are you going to pay for it? My taxes are going to go up. That's the only thing I'm afraid of, is that maybe we got to work on our messaging as well in terms of when it comes to paying for single-payer health care.
Absolutely. Well, we always have to work on our messaging
because it's
very poor.
That's the understatement of the year. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. I'd like to hear from you. Is healthcare your top issue heading into this election cycle? And maybe you have some thoughts on why every time a party tries to change the healthcare system, they usually end up basically getting annihilated at the polls. 952-946-6205, Brett and Hunter back. Coming up next here on AM 950. 24 karat magic in the air. Head to toe, so clear.
Look out. Pop, pop, it's showtime. With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
Hey Minnesota, Norman Goldman here. Catch me live every weeknight from 5 to 8 p.m. right here on AM 950. Whether it's a recap of the day's news, legal analysis, or teaching civics, justice is always served on the Norman Goldman Show. Today on the show, with the FBI now investigating Brett Kavanaugh and these sex and alcohol claims, where are we going from here? Also, is Rod Rosenstein about to be fired? Russiagate is hot. Join me every weeknight from 5 to 8 on AM 950.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Oh no, you shattered your cell phone. Now what? Listen closely. We know you're lost without your phone. Bring it to Computer Revolution today. We'll fix it and have you back online before someone asks, "Where are you?" Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair has over 18 years experience fixing computer devices, all brands, all carriers. Computer Revolution with Cell Phone Repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. We fix phones, same day, 7 days a week.
I'm John Peterson, and at Ferndale Market, we are proud to provide our free-range turkey to local restaurants and natural food stores. One of our partners since the beginning has been Birchwood Cafe, and we're excited to announce a new partnership product, the Birchwood Turkey Burger Patty. Made from their popular turkey burger recipe, using our antibiotic-free turkey and Birchwood's local and organic ingredients. Put an end to bland turkey burgers. Find this and all our Ferndale turkey products at your local co-op or natural food store. Visit ferndalemarket.com.
It's grilling season, and Vinaigrette has some sizzling recipes to inspire you. How about summertime grilled fajitas? Just create a marinade with our golden balsamic or champagne vinegar and chili, garlic, or jalapeno olive oil and marinate beef or chicken. Add red onions, red, green, and yellow peppers and throw them on the grill. Or try grilled steak brushed with our truffle or garlic olive oil. Visit us at 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior, or online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Hey, I'm Doc 50, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I like the music selections we've been getting here on our producer shows. Is that you that's been doing those, or
yeah,
is it Eric or Sam?
Yeah, added some new songs.
There you go. I like it. Mix things up a little bit. Half full phone lines. We'll get to those in just 1 second, but wanted to highlight why voting for, well, pretty much any office, but especially executive positions, whether it's president or governor, is very important. Right now, today, Governor Mark Dayton is going to be interviewing judicial candidates for Minnesota's 10th Judicial District. I don't know where the 10th Judicial District is, but again, that's a governor appointing judges. And think about how many judges Donald Trump has appointed, not just, of course, on the Supreme Court, but also at the district level. So certainly very important to vote in every race, including the governor's race, because over the past 7 years, we've been able to put a lot of Democrats and people who I think have a much better judicial philosophy on the benches throughout the state of Minnesota. 952-946-6205. Full phone lines. Let's go to David in Shakopee. He wants to talk about single payer. Hi, David.
Hi, how you doing? I just want to say I really like you guys. I listen to you guys on my way home from work every day. It's awesome. I just want to say that, you know, I think single payer is pretty much inevitable. But what we don't talk about is the chaos that it's going to cause in the economy. And that's where we're going to lose seats in the next election. There's a lot of people whose jobs, you know, depend on the system that is. And once we get a single payer, they're going to lose their jobs. Like, for example, when I go to my doctor, there's three ladies that work behind the counter. One, she's just there to set appointments and take people in and out. The other two are there simply to deal with the health insurance companies. They're the liaison. Those jobs are not going, there's not going to be a need for as many of those people. They're going to have to move to a different job, and that's going to cause havoc. And a lot of people are going to blame the Democrats once we get a single payer for losing their jobs.
Interesting point. I think that certainly could be an argument that Republicans would make. And thanks, John, or David, I should say. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you listening to us every day. And that's something that, again, we talked about messaging, and that's something Democrats will have to address if we eventually get single-payer health care. I shouldn't even say if, I should say when, because I could agree with them that it is inevitable that we're going to go down that road.
That's an interesting take, though. I hadn't thought of that, and that is a consequence of this.
It could be a consequence, but I still think those jobs are going to appear somewhere else. I mean, you're just talking about health insurance. Healthcare itself is going to largely remain the same. Mm-hmm. I think it's always important to make that distinction between healthcare and health insurance. And yeah, if some people lose their job in health insurance, there's certainly other industries where you could have jobs, including possibly trying to administer this new possible national health insurance. Going to go quickly out of order here just so we stay on topic. Ruth, hang on. I definitely want to talk to you about Anonymous Carl Rove. I love that heading that we have up on our screen. But first, let's go to John in Minneapolis, wants to chime in on healthcare. Hello there, John.
Oh, hello. It was interesting. I was listening to the previous caller, and I've been studying the healthcare issue since 1994 as a business person. I provided health insurance for my employees for over 25 years, and I paid for all of it, and it was really, really a pain. It was a pain to administer and whatnot. But what they don't ever tell you, and the question you're asking is, do the people who propose a solution always get punished? And the person to look at is Bernie Sanders, who continually said, we have to go to universal health care, Medicare for all. And the reason he was so popular is it cover everybody, and it actually saves money. Now, I've done a bunch of lectures about this with doctors. We had all the stats. We had the resources. The person that just called didn't say how he where he got his information. So I don't know what that is, but I have read studies myself. I've got copies of them that show in Canada, when they went to universal health care, jobs actually increased. In other words, employment increased by 2%, wages increased, and business increased because it took the burden of the healthcare administering it off the businesses. And businesses and the finance and the economy are really the victims of our current system. We're spending $5 billion a year paying for Medicare in Minnesota, and there's never in 30 years been an audit, which is required annually. There's something dreadfully wrong in Minnesota and in the country that they allow this to go on. So we not only would save money, yeah, we'll have to spend a lot of money on it, but they don't ever talk about how much money we won't spend on health care. And what about the trauma that all of us go through when someone isn't covered? When someone that we love or care about.
Hey, John, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. Just want to make sure we leave time for our last caller, Ruth, but certainly very knowledgeable on that subject. And I would just add to that as well, when people say, well, it's going to cost so much money, I would argue we're already paying for it. We're just sending it through to the private industry instead of public health insurance. Let's go to, this is, I love the topic that Ruth is going to be talking about here, anonymous Carl Rove. Ruth, you got about a minute, but fill us in on what's happening there.
Well, this is out from left field, but when they got that letter at New York Times about Anonymous, I thought, Anonymous? I remembered them from, like, 2012, and I should have done a little more research, when Anonymous, an internet person or group, told Karl Rove, we know what you did at the last election, and if you do it again this time, we're going to expose you. And I thought, where have they been in the 2016 election? And do you remember Anonymous?
Yeah, it is interesting that they really haven't been, at least in the mainstream media. Of course, they were reported on a lot, as you said, back in 2012, 2013. But I'd love to see them hack and get Donald Trump's taxes, wouldn't you? Oh, that would be great. Anonymous, that's your job. We'll leave you on that thought. AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota. With a brick in your shoe.